For the purpose of critique, review, education, the Skinny Squirrel Podcast Network presents...
The Skinky Squirrel Podcast?
Yeah, the Skinky Squirrel. The Skinky Squirrel Squadcast.
It's time... Yeah, all right, Sylvester. It's time for the Nerdlings Podcast. I'm your host, WC Chronicles.
And I'm Sylvester the Putty Cat, Junior Jersey. Mike.
So, all right. So, we got several things to get on here. Our main focus is going to be talking about... Anthony Edwards, everybody's favorite Gilbert Lowell nerd from Revenge
slash
of the Nerds.
ER doctor. He went from a spectrum of a nerd to a ER doctor.
We're basically going to be looking at some of the uniquities of his career.
Yeah,
he's pretty. He's everybody's nerd.
Yes, he is.
Two weeks ago we did Robert Carradine.
Now tonight, Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards. So, but we got a few things to talk about. We got to talk about last week when we had the buffet. What came up was the cartoon Genie, remember?
Yes. Yabble babble.
Oh gosh, this is like a triple score nerdum from some of the stuff I was reading
on. So this is like when you went to when your mom went to bake cookies or brownies, you got to lick the extra creamy chocolate batch, or you got to sample a taste of that vanilla, which was so potent that you were like, "Oh my gosh, here it is."
Here it is. So here's the intro again from the cartoon. I want you to think about who's singing, okay? Because it's way before his career blew up, and then even who the person that Babu was, which never knew.
This I got a feeling I know.
For
who
me,
that is.
This was like a moment of like when you're 10 years old, you're watching Gilligan's Island, and for some reason you kind of correlate Mr. Howell, who you know his real name is Jim Backus, because you see it there in the credits. And you kind of start crossing it
Mr.
in your
Magoo,
mind.
Mr. Magoo, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, he sounds like Mr. Howell, sounds like Mr. Magoo. And then you finally see a Mr. Magoo cartoon. You see that name in the credits, Jim Backus. Pow! Squirrel moment.
And a little bit, Mr. Magoo looks a little bit like him, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it all came together at that point in time.
Meshed up.
When things got mashed up, married up, crossed the beams. But anyway, here's the theme song from the Genie cartoon again, and then I'll throw it at you.
Hot dogging it up, right high on a curl. Not thinking about it, I'd be meeting a girl. Then wham! But that fall wasn't all. In a bottle was a chick, only 2 inches tall. Out came Genie.
Wow!
And Junior Genie, Babu. Genie.
Yes, Master?
Okay, so, the person singing that song, blowing your mind, any guesses? He's 19 years old at the time.
David Cassidy.
Nope. He already had fame with the Partridge Family.
Okay.
You might think. Doing the voice of Corey there.
I couldn't even tell you.
Would you believe this was before Star Wars? He had a contract with Hanna-Barbera.
Mark Hamill! Wow.
Talk about getting your... That was a weird cross right there.
Wow, it's like that movie Corvette Summer.
Yes.
You ever see that?
I saw that.
That was crazy. You wouldn't think that was Luke Skywalker, but wow.
He had to eat, but you had a name for yourself, and people were curious of what else you could do. Now, brings us to Babu. There is a Three Stooges tie-in here.
Oh, wow.
You know, all right, if you know the history of the Stooges, you know how they had three or four different Curlys?
Yeah.
The person who was doing the voice of Babu at the time was 66-year-old Joe Besser. He was the Curly from 1957 to 1959.
Wow, I was going to say Rip Taylor.
You would think Rip Taylor, but no, it was Joe Besser. At the time, Joe Besser was born in 1907. He passed away in 1988. He was 80 years old. But can you imagine doing the voiceovers, if they did them together, in the honor of Joe Besser, one of the Three Stooges at the time?
That's pretty awesome.
Because, I mean, you look at his antics of Babu, what he was doing. Yabble dabble. it's a total curly parallel going on there.
Yeah, yes it is. That's pretty cool, man.
I mean, Genie into Star Wars, Mark Hamill, Joe Besser, Three Stooges. That's a triple play right there.
That's that Bermuda Triangle.
Bermuda effect. Triangle of nerdom. Some yes. some triple triple
wow.
hat trick hockey thing of squirrel serendipity. So, shall we do the Mabel Doomsday up?
Yes,
vault
we
update?
Need the we need the Mabel update vault update because Mabel might be actually listening now, and she might
yes.
turn around and put some of her powers and hold up some of the stuff we get. So we want to not piss off Mabel.
We don't want to make the Mabel mad. Keep the Mabel happy. So anyway, here's let's.
I wonder if Mabel does she like maple syrup? Does Mabel like maple syrup?
Yeah, she's take it or leave
it. She got to go out there and put the tap in the tree and actually get fresh.
She's
maple
from
syrup.
Oregon, not Vermont.
Oh, all right. I don't know. What do they do in Oregon?
Not maple syrup. Well, anyway, let's hit the theme.
A household name in every family. But the one she wants so bad ain't the guy who yells like mad. Hey, Mabel, wait for me.
Glenn Gabriel.
Hey, I think I see her coming now. Huh? Say, there's class and how. Hey, Mabel. Hey, wait for me.
All right, it's time for the Mabel Doomsday Vault update. So what? She didn't know. I didn't look. I went down in and I pulling out the story, the long lost fable story of the Menagerie of the Raccoons.
Wow. What do they call the bandits with the masks?
The bandits with the mask. Okay. So we'll go back about maybe 8 years, 10 years here. Part of Washington County is still in its rural confines. Still a lot of creeks, a lot of wilderness, a lot of parks, and lots of wildlife. Okay. But there's a lot of wild raccoons, okay? This raccoon...
Is this far from your farm or house?
Right at my parents' house.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Right at my parents' house. This is where I grew up
at. This is pretty cut and dry with raccoonism at its finest, as it were.
Raccoonism at its finest. So these raccoons kept coming around at night, getting into the garbage, getting into the feed sacks, getting into the barrels. Doesn't
matter. Now, when they get into the feed sacks, do they contaminate it with rabies? You have to throw it out?
Basically, yes.
Okay.
Because you don't know.
Gotcha.
They're cute from a distance, but hey, stay over there and we'll get along fine.
Gotcha.
But they kept on coming, and so my mom got a big cage so that they wouldn't be harmed. Set it up at night. Put some peanut butter, maybe some grain in there to track the raccoon. Raccoon came in, bam, gets caught till
Got
morning.
One.
Got one. Sometimes two.
Oh, my God.
Rarely, though.
Do they fight when they're two together?
No.
Okay.
Usually just one. One gets in the cage, and it's stuck there till morning. Very humane, very kind thing to do. My dad and my mom, they would take the cage, take the raccoon, load it up in the back of the Wagoneer, whatever vehicle it was, and off they go about 10 miles to the Tualatin Valley marshland in Tualatin to let the raccoon go.
Okay.
Now this is a really neat kind of hiking area that's got a nice viewing area, a visitor center.
Oh, nice.
And what they would do, they would, before the main drive in, they would pull in to one of the side roads into the wilderness where nobody could see from the visitor center thing. Basically get up there, open the back of the Wagoneer, push the raccoon cage up, open the cage, jump back, boom, there goes the raccoon.
Oh, wow.
Very humane, very proper thing to do.
Yeah.
They do this with bears in Yosemite.
Yeah, they tranquilize them, tag them, and then they get the scientific stuff, and they relocate them so they don't get harmed.
Same idea. Except there's no tagging or tranquilizing, okay?
That you know of. Mabel might have tagged them to see what happened to them.
Not likely. Not likely. So, that happened once. Twice. Would you care to guess how many times this happened over about 3 or 4 years, right?
12.
Double it and add two.
24?
26 times.
Wow.
They released, captured, catch and release raccoons and took them out to this wet marshland to let them go. 26 times, okay? Now,
how far was this from the house?
About 10 miles.
You think any of them ever made it back?
No.
No? Okay.
No, because you'd have to go over the Tualatin River, and that ain't going to happen.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing. Nobody was ever aware of this. This was just kind of a clandestine thing. It's like, oh, Mabel's raccoon menagerie. Here's number 20, 21. Every few weeks, take another raccoon out. Because it was the kind thing to. This is why I like animals type thing. But, okay, so a friend of mine was reading an article. We were talking about, I was coming to come back to Oregon. We were going to basically go to this marshland, Tualatin Valley marshland, and take a hike. We haven't done it.
Now, I bet. And I know why.
No, no, no. You can. You can. Oh, okay. You can. It was just an article. It was just an article talking about things to do this weekend. Go hiking at the thing. There was a kind of a scientific article. Footnote. They don't understand or know why the influx population has increased so greatly of raccoons in that square mile footage of area.
Mabel caused a turn in the world of raccoons. Took one from one place, put it to another, and probably misled the poor thing, thinking it's in its area, and that's why there was an influx of raccoons in this area now.
Yeah, I mean, the rangers there, you know, they take little tick marks or whatever, the population. There's a huge explosion of raccoons here, and we don't know why.
But we know why. It was Mabel. Wow. Mabel and One-Eyed Jack. And I am Scrambled Eggs.
And I have been your host, Smartass B. Hush, and this has been your Mabel update.
Now, I wonder if she's got a date. Is my cap on straight?
Hush it.
Hey, Maybell. How about it?
Oh, boy, it's popular. And the gal can be.
Did you say popular?
I did.
She's popular with me.
Why, even Santa boys feel gay as they shout, ankles away.
Hey, Mabel.
Away for me.
I like the laugh they do at the end.
Yeah, I like the horn. I like Mabel's theme song.
And my brother's getting in on the act, too. He's got a few more Mabel songs that we will use probably to close out the podcast. We got to keep the Hoosier Hot Shots as the opening one, because that's the best one. So,
goodbye, Mabel!
So, we're back. Before we get into Anthony Edwards, I want to talk about my trip to Tonopah. Went to look, as a friend teases me, about to go look at holes in the ground.
I can say something to that, and I won't, because if you get into the wrong hole,
you may not get out. So Tonopah has a silver mine. They actually have five silver mines there that date back to 1860.
Because we live in the Silver State.
We do.
Which is Nevada.
Yep. And
I'm sorry.
We
Nevada,
are the Silver State.
But no, because there's a thing that goes on here that if you say Las Vegas, Nevada, from, you know, my gosh, it's the end of the world. So you have to say, welcome to fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, it's like people say Oregon or Oregon. You're from Oregon? Yes, it's pronounced Oregon. Whatever, okay. So, anyway, here was my trip. I was going to look at holes in the ground. It was just going to be for 48 hours, spend one night, come back, clean cut. I just wanted some peace and quiet.
Just peace and quiet with nature.
Yeah, peace and quiet. I got there, and this park covers 110 acres of land.
Oh, wow.
It is so cool. And I got there on a Tuesday morning. I went there, a particular day I went on Tuesday because I knew no anybody else would be there. I went through the visitor center. Very nice people in the visitor center.
Is there a fee to get in?
$4 or $5.
Oh, that's not bad. That probably covers towards paycheck or what do you call that? Removal, trash removal and stuff.
Something like that. Yeah. You know, it's a...
Well, that's bad. You know what? You can't even go see a movie for $4.
No.
Really. So that's pretty cool.
And I was
actually
out there for about 4 or 5 hours running around.
Wow.
Look, I did post one of the videos on Instagram looking down over the silver mines.
That's like 80 cents an hour. Where can you go have fun outdoors for 80 cents an hour? That's
legally.
Legally. That's actually pretty good. Wow.
But as usual, I did my own thing where I went and looked at the. You can go. They're awesome because these. Trestles that are above them that they used to put the ropes on and go down are still there.
Oh, wow.
The ore sorters, the crushers are still there.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they had to, with the well and all that stuff with the water. Wow.
And you're going to find a million bent nails all over the place. I did pick up a few nails. They don't care. Roofing nails. Take them.
From the 1800s?
From no square ones. So this would be at a time when the round ones were invented.
Oh, okay. Early 1900s. Yeah. But still a pretty cool find.
I went to that. The second one I went to was the Desert Queen, I believe they call it. It's the one up on top of the hill. You're not supposed to go into the building.
You went in the building.
I went in the building because it's like, it's only about 11 o'clock. The building is from this little, where they used to put the tailings from the silver mine. The visitor center can't see it. The chain link fence just kind of grows around it a little bit. It's like, I'm going in. I'll be. They don't recommend it, but damn it, I'm gonna do it.
Just for today's financial update, troy ounce of silver goes for $15.
Ah.
Jewelry, the silver, which is a lower grade, is a lot less. So silver is down. So that's why okay. Nevada State, we need to tourism come to the strip. We need to pump us up. Back to Tonopah.
Went into this other building, very decrepit, but then go over to the operator's booth, just the way they left it, the handles and everything.
Oh wow.
The door was closed. I didn't want to get too close, but you can still you can smell the gear oil, just the way they left it in 1948.
Like a time capsule.
Wow,
that's pretty neat.
Like 72 years ago, it's just still standing there.
Did you find any little pieces of silver?
No, but in the visitor center, you can purchase, and they do have actually a couple pieces of ore, which I will post a picture of.
Oh, nice.
And these are good-sized chunks of rock, about the size of a paint can. Wow. Value $18,000.
All silver?
All silver. You're not, but it's like 260 pounds of rock. You're not putting those in your pocket and taking them out.
Wow, that's a big nugget.
That's a lot, yeah.
That is a lot.
And then you can go, I went and did some more exploring down to some of the other mine shafts. And then actually in 1968, the Howard Hughes Corporation, little connection to us there in Vegas.
He developed Summerlin, Red Rock Canyon.
Yeah. His company basically put in all these new outbuildings, workshops. They put up a new hoist and basically went down in to basically get some core samples to see if it was money financially worthwhile to do this.
Wow.
This whole process went on for about 2 or 3 years till about 1970 when they deemed it no value to really do it. They basically have taken every bit of ore out of the ground that they can. And basically said no. But here's the thing. The workshop is there. They walked away and just left it as
is. How did they mine? Did they tell? Did they drill? Did they water pressure? Did they dynamite it?
Dig the ore out, bring it up in the cart.
Oh, wow. So hand done.
Hand done, wow. Pretty much. Because some of the drills they have there, they have these big pneumatic drills that they... It's about the size of a car door, it looks like. Where you'd have this big old dwell on the end of it, go drill. Inside the dynamite shack, I don't even think they know it's there. Underneath in the back, there is still there where they left one of the hammer jacks.
Oh, wow.
And that's not something you're going to walk away with.
Oh.
So they left it there. I mean, it's kind of set up for a tourist. School kids tour coming
picture
thing.
Taken like yeah. Nostalgic yeah. Type of neat stuff
because wow. One part they actually will show you and they have set up where they will forge tools.
Oh really?
Heat it up, hit it with a hammer, which is coincidence. I get back to my hotel room, what's the only thing one of the TV channels I can get?
The new forged channel. Yeah, the new forged in fire or something. You know, that's pretty cool. You think about it, they have the jack spot, do everything on the spot.
They do. I mean, the workshops that they have set up in these old Howard Hughes buildings, I want to say, you can go into, you see all the old tools. And, I mean, in I was walking around just trying to suck up and take in 150, 160 years of history.
Wow.
Walking where they walked, I went and I found the old vault that they used to have. Back in
the
60s.
To store the ore?
To store the ore, the pure silver, because eventually they put a smelter and a refinery on site.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
And then there was it was like these old buildings that were gone. And the only thing I could find hanging around were like old leftover filament ceramic fence chargers that they would use to funnel electricity. I found just a few of those. Maybe I'll take some pictures and post them. I'll let you decide. Maybe not. I don't know. But eventually, about 2:30 in the afternoon, thunderstorm starts rolling in.
Oh, no.
Crack! Thunder! I hear it's like, I'm up here. Now, I know about, if anybody who's smart enough to know about lightning.
Time to go.
Lightning hits the highest point. Yeah. Okay?
Gotta get in your car with rubber tires.
Yes. But here I am up on this kind of halfway hillside.
Oh, wow.
Thunder clouds coming in, and I'm like, I'm the highest point right now. I scoop my ass and get back to this visitor center just to before it started to rain.
Oh, you got lucky there because you could get struck by lightning and crazy stuff happens out there, especially out in nature.
Yeah, I'm kind of like at a halfway point. Okay.
Now, would the ore, do you think, take the lightning and extract it? In other words, it would draw it to it?
No.
Because it's metal?
I don't think so, because all the tailings that are around there are just the refuge left over. Remember when we saw those gold tailings?
Yes.
Kind of the same idea. The only two rocks I really found were some quartz, because I read that the sign looking for the veins of silver, quartz is the first sign of that you're silver. Nearby. I found one of the tailings. I brought it back.
Oh, nice.
Rock hounds. I'll post it, maybe.
Post it.
I'll post it. So I got out of there about 2:30, found my hotel room, found my Forge channel, and then the thunderstorms came in through the night, and I was done.
Wow.
I stayed out of the way. So my next part of my adventures, my next day, I saw my cousin, long time, told me about the World War II airplane hangars they have out there.
You showed me a picture of that. It's pretty cool.
I showed you that. And squirrel serendipity moment. So I found a video where somebody had visited them back in May, some father and his son. Watched that, and in one of them, there's three of them. There's the main road called Highway 6, which is actually heading opposite of what would Reno, Nevada would be.
Okay.
You go out there, you got what I called hangar number 1, 2, and 3 from the highway. And these are on property that the military still owns. One of them is on the actual civilian airport.
Nice.
So I go back, I start at hangar number 3. This building shut down in 1945. This is where the plane trainers, a lot of people died out here. So I'm out there wanting to have a little respect. Wow. Pilots died and stuff. They also
What'd they die did, from?
Plane crashes.
Oh, wow.
Plane crashes. And so they also did a lot of study work out there on the glide bombs. These are, exactly. What are glide bombs? There's a story that goes back to JFK and John F. Kennedy Sr. Or maybe it was Robert Kennedy, one of the Kennedy brothers who died on one of the research bombs that they were going to try to steer into Germany, okay?
Oh my gosh, wow.
This is where, this was the beginning technology of all the smart bombs that we have today, computer guided.
That's amazing.
It all started right there at this spot.
So you were part of, in a spot, U.S. military history was made.
And so I get out, you don't expect to see anybody out there. This is about 10:30 in the morning. I get out there a little closer, I'm approaching the building, I take a few photos, I look off to my left, and there's a guy out there. There's a guy, he's fussing around with something with one of the utility poles. And it looks like
he's out in the middle of nowhere.
Out in the middle of nowhere. Okay? And I'm just like, and he doesn't care about me. And I'm like just wanting to be cool. I'm just here, you know. He's got like a long, one of those cutting cord things. He's doing something to the utility. Take 10, 20 steps. I see it's a utility worker. He's got his utility truck there. I say, hey, how you doing? I'm just out here taking photos of the building. And he goes, oh, go for it. I don't care. I'm just out here to turn off the electricity. And, okay. I stop for a minute. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I conversate with him for just a few sentences. I go, wait a minute. You mean this building that's been out of service since 1945, decommissioned, has been having electricity pumped to it for 72 years? And he goes, yeah, well, it's been upgraded. The hardware, circuit, you know, fuse, whatever boxes have been upgraded a little bit, 70s, 80s, 90s, or whatever. But they have never shut off the electricity. This building has never been decommissioned till now.
That's amazing. So it was electricity on? Like, was there like...
Yes.
Was there like a light on at night that's been on for 70 years that burnt out that still runs?
I got photos inside. There's a lot of refuse, a lot of garbage. I did find some actually old military bed rails.
Oh, nice.
That I took a photo of. You really don't want to touch anything or rummage through anything because a lot of bird poop all over stuff. You don't want to
imagine.
Don't want to be contaminating yourself with that. But it was just like the chance of me. It's like when I was talking about the Jimmy Jameson photos. When I was there at the Hard Rock Cafe, I happened to be right there at that moment of day, time, and it just happened. I happened to be right there at the moment, day, and time that they're cutting the power.
It's crazy you say that because I used to live in a building in Atlantic City called the Ritz.
Yeah.
And they actually, I think I told you this, had elbows that were so big made, but they had swastikas actually on the elbow piece. You know, like you got the connector and stuff.
Yeah.
That's how good the Germans were before it was Hitler
it was when it was occupied Germany before they came out and World War One came out.
Right.
This actually was on the building.
Wow.
With Jewish people in there, but unfortunately it was there, and I actually saw the swastika. One of the guys that worked there told me, and I couldn't believe
that
it.
That is bizarre.
And I just looked, and it actually had, from the 1940-something, the Nazi swastika. Now, how do you think... You never know, like you say, squirrel serendipity, how you're going to wind up finding those army bed rails.
Yeah.
How does this connecting piece fit a pipe system?
I didn't touch them, but because just, you know, bird poop.
But it just shows you how well things were built to last versus today break.
Yes. I mean, the military still had this building in its eyes, in its mind, for commission.
Amazing.
I would not want to put my airplane or any kind of vehicle in there.
No.
So then I started to drive to what I'm calling air hangar number 2. You cannot get into air hangar number 2 because it's on airport property. They have a fence all the way around it, barbed wire pointing out to cut yourself, and the sign that says up front that says, prosecuted to the highest extent of the law. Keep out.
Yep. Bye-bye, too.
Little research I did that they may be housing some of the old planes from the Gulf War in there.
Oh, wow.
The stealth planes.
Wow.
I would not want to put a plane in there with that kind of technology.
Hey. Listen, whatever.
So then I went over to what I'm calling hangar number 1, a little closer to the airport. There's no control tower on, but I know I'm going to be watched. I know I'm going to be seen. So I go there, and based on the information from what I saw from the guy that both posted a video on YouTube when him and his kid went there in May, the fence was really kind of just hanging open with a padlock around it. Easy to go inside, and there's still stuff in there.
Wow.
From what time period, I don't know. But to me, it's going back to World War II.
This is Hangar 1?
Hangar 1.
So did you get in to explore any of it?
Well, the new fence is all there. Bob Wire, I walked once around the building completely, taking pictures. Standing there at the gate, and I'm thinking, you know, it's easier to ask for permission than it is for... Yeah. Or for
is there a closed-circuit television on here where I'm going to get...
I know I know they're watching me.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, what are they going to do? I climb the fence.
Wow.
I say the hell with it. I climb the fence. I head in and I start looking at all the different stuff. I was wanting to visit some of the things. There was like some light, what I call them light caps, that goes on like on the, you see an airplane? It's a glass case that goes, like the fixture.
Gotcha,
that goes
light
over,
fixture.
That goes under the plane. A blue one, they had white ones.
Oh, wow.
I was so impressed by those, but they had boxes still in there. There's two buildings next to it that look like tough sheds, that there's still something going on there, okay?
Wow.
I'm in there for about maybe 5 minutes. Take my pictures, and it's time to get out. I head for the fence. I'm starting to climb over the fence. Here comes an unmarked pickup truck.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting caught with my fingers in the cookie jar.
Lucky you're here, not sitting in some kind of military thing.
Well, here's the thing. I go, I didn't do anything. What are they going to do? Just slap my hand or something? It's an older guy. It's just a pickup truck. There's no marking says security on it. It's obviously he came more from the airport. It's an old building. It's an insurance thing. They don't want anybody just crawling around in there. But he goes, hey, may I help you? And I go, I'm just a history nerd. I'm just here. Do you know the history of this building? That's one of my purposes here. He goes, yeah, you know, Chuck Yeager trained here.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. You just like gave me more ammunition to the history of this building. This is one of the places where Chuck Yeager trained first at this particular hangar before he went out to the test fields in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Blew me away. Then the guy said, well, you might want to go up to the museum up here in Tonopah because they got some of Chuck Yeager memorabilia and so forth.
Different,
yeah. So I'm like, thank you, okay. Honestly, I was just blown away. I took my photos, headed out, realized I got busted. You know, this is why it's good. If you're gonna strike, get over the fence and do it quick before somebody comes.
Yeah.
You know, went up to the museum, found
Lucky
the museum.
That wasn't a military thing that you had 15 or 20 of them, and then you're exiled to some crazy thing.
Here's the thing: I was doing a little research on Google, looking at what other people have had experiences. I'll show you. I'll post the photos of what this building looks like. It's about ready to fall down.
Wow.
But as far back as 1910, people were storing planes, cars, and boats in this building.
Wild.
Fencing, the gate was ripped down and inside. It looks like it's... My guess is it's going to be decommissioned like the other building.
And take the electricity out, too.
Take the electricity out, too. The electricity guy could have decommissioned it before I got there, and he was doing hangar number 3.
Exactly. You just don't know.
You don't know.
Decommissions. Wow.
So I head over to the museum. I go in. Dead. Wednesday morning. Nobody there. There's one administrator lady. She's on the phone talking to somebody. She goes, oh, help yourself. It's free. Look around. I look around and everything, and I found the Chuck Yeager stuff. There's actually, Chuck Yeager was actually there.
Oh, wow.
There's a picture of him with some of his stuff, the wreckage of the planes and stuff.
Wow.
Now, I thought the old security guard guy told me that there was a replica of one of Yeager's planes up there, but there wasn't. It was just wreckage, leftover pieces. So I struck up a conversation with her, and she goes, you know, I really don't know. Let me call my husband, and you can talk to him. Lo and behold, I talked to this guy. His name's Alan. It was her husband. He's an administrator there, too. It was his day off. Talked to him for about 10 minutes.
Oh, nice.
He told me about the glide bombs and everything. He told me about how he got military declassified research film from 1945, 44 about the glide bomb.
Oh, wow.
He gave me a copy of his DVD that he produced.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to wait till I take this DVD up to... I don't even have a DVD player. I'll be honest with that one. I'm going to wait till I go to my parents' house. I'm going to watch it. I will throw it up on YouTube.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's a tribute to him and putting it up on YouTube and buy some of it. And
I threw him a $5.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't even think they sell this DVD in the store there.
Wow.
But he gave me a copy
of
it.
That's pretty neat.
Went out. They have a big, huge, petrified piece of wood out front. It's just sitting out there in the weather. I think it's cedar, but I was looking at it because I was like to try to chip off a few pieces or something.
Couldn't get anything.
I could. I did.
Oh, okay.
The very bottom edge of it, there is. I've never seen half petrified wood. This wood still has a little bit of its sponginess to it, but it's whatever the terminology is to becoming petrified wood, snapped off a couple pieces of it.
Oh,
I
nice.
Had to take it. It's like,
yeah, because petrified has to be in the water for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, for Mother Nature to take an effect,
yeah.
You know. So that's pretty much my adventure of Totonopah.
Well, it sounds like you got the history down of different hangars and buildings and little squirrel serendipity of nerdism in your own fashion.
Yeah, I mean, this is the stuff I like to do. It's just going out nerding and learning, being at the right spot at the right time. So we should get on to our real podcast here with Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, the queen of nerds.
The king of, one of the king of nerds.
One of the king. Well, I want to say queen because
I don't know.
There's always a, I'm going to say Gilbert's the king, but you know what? Anthony Edwards plays a doctor, so like you said, there's two kings.
Two kings. So anyway,
maybe he's the queen.
I was thinking we should start off with one of the other songs that the Rubinos did for the soundtrack.
All right.
This is the song called Breakdown from the Revenge of the Nerds soundtrack of the Rubinos.
Show and tell, the tars and yell, see how far.
You got to play that to the end.
It's like the nerds coming from the country, or like, you know, like the school wall, then they get out of it, and boom, they just run around, meet women, drugs, gambling,
yeah,
alcohol, like Vegas, you know, like the nerds come in here.
The nerds on the loose. So Anthony Edwards played Gilbert Lowell in Revenge of the Nerds, 1984. He was born July 19th, 1962. He's 55 years old now, if I did my math right. Now, some of the highlights that we're going to go over with him, because he's kind of like a very bendable actor. He left, he's the youngest of five children, okay? Now, I'm just going to play the video and then we'll talk about it. From 1982, he was his character, Stoner Bud.
Oh, cool.
You remember that one?
All right, this one's on you, dude. Oh, who's got the Buku Dolores today?
Uno Dinero.
What have you got, Mr. Buckman?
I got a cigarette.
I got Uno Nicolet.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
But something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. You see that sign?
No shirt, no shoes, no dice.
Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Well, he's the full hot board.
Okay, as Stoner Bud in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, 1982, wow. 2 years before what would be Revenge of the Nerds. So he left college when he was 19. He was getting so many acting gigs.
Wow.
When he was 11 years old, that's when he got his first big break in a movie that was kind of a dud called Big Zapper.
Ah, never heard of that.
So as his career went on, you know, he did the Nerds, and now, you know, we're thinking, what about Goose?
Yeah.
We're going to get to Goose. Some good stuff has come about that. But he did, back in 1994, he did some PSAs.
Really?
Public service announcements. Remember the old, and now you are the more you know segments? Well, here's they are. Here's two of them.
Do you ever have that dream where you show up at school, you're in your pajamas, and you can't find the classroom? It's frightening. But the idea of going back to school is a good one, especially when you go as a volunteer. Schools really need your support and involvement and your skills and experience. The kids do too. So go back to school. I promise you it'll be fun. And I don't think anyone will mind if you wear your PJs.
T is for the many things they teach us. E is for all the extra care they show. They get A's for their ability to reach us. And C means they're committed that we grow. H is for the homework, keep it coming. ER, Thursday night at 10, 9 Central Time. You put that all together, it spells teacher. And without teachers, well, I wouldn't be able to make this rhyme. Thank you. I'm not a poet, but I play one on TV.
All right, there's another one of those, the more you know segments.
Pretty cool, sir, Mr. Edwards, pretty cool.
So, I mean, he kind of almost parallels the kind of life that Robert Carradine had in the Nerd thing. Now, imagine it's 1984, you just had the success of this Nerd thing, and then you are brought with this role of this character named Lieutenant J.G. Nick Goose Bradshaw in Top Gun.
Yeah.
Now, how many, I mean, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, how many names got started there that launched their careers? Judge Reinhold, Sean Penn, Phoebe Cates.
Eric Stoltz.
The list goes on and on. Nicolas Cage is his first movie. Very small part
Jennifer
of
it. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah. And then even into, go back to 1986, Top Gun, Tom Cruise. You had several people that had their careers launched there. And Anthony Edwards, his character was completely looked different, not nerdy, the almost cocky, and
cool,
I mean,
cool, suave, and collective. Of the pilots, because this was an elite thing.
Yeah, I mean, so here's his scene. Let's roll it from Top Gun.
Gentlemen, this school is about combat. There are no points for second place. Dismissed.
Thanks, Coy.
The plaque for the alternates is down in the ladies' room.
Oh, Jesus! Oh, you kill me. You really do.
No. There's two O's in Goose, boys.
In Goose. You gotta have it that
Goose
way.
Goose is not a nerd anymore.
He's not a nerd. He's hanging out with Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise, making this movie called Top Gun, which we all pretty much know the rest of the story.
And you know what's crazy about that? That was one of their elite, based on elite squadron.
Yes.
So, you know, whatever character he was based on or came up with and his creativity and how he put it together, his
yes.
role. That's pretty slick.
It is. That is, it's well done. But as we all know, Goose dies.
Yes.
Gonna spoiler alert, it's Goose dies, yeah, if you don't know that by now.
I don't want to say anything to anybody. That movie's in the 80s, so go back into the archives and watch that. It's pretty cool.
But it's been announced that they're going to be making a sequel to Top Gun.
Top Gun 2, right?
Top Gun 2. It's going to come out. And so they decided to get together with Stephen Colbert show. This was done.
This
aired around June 22nd of this year. Okay.
Oh wow.
Little comedy skit that Anthony Edwards did on the Stephen Colbert show.
Oh nice.
Hello, I'm Anthony Edwards. You might remember a little movie from the 80s called Top Gun, a romantic military action drama about flyboys and volleyball. And now that it's been announced that they're making a sequel, I just have one question. Why didn't I get a call? Do I have to remind them that I was in the movie too? Spoiler alert. That's right, I died. But just because I'm dead doesn't mean that I can't be in the sequel. I have two words for you. Ghost Goose. This goose likes to gander.
Maybe it was my fault.
Bingo.
I don't know what the hell went wrong.
You fly like a maniac. Ghost Goose. Get on social media and start lobbying for Ghost Goose using this hashtag and tell America that you feel the need for Ghost Goose.
That was okay. Pretty cool. Ghost Goose.
He only did that about a month and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
So his career, I mean, first, you know, as the nerd, he gets some fan following. He does Top Gun. He gets some more net nerd fan following, or not nerd following. And then he comes into the year of 1994. A little show called ER. Yeah,
that turnaround, and I think had top ratings for what, like 5 to 7 years in the top one or two seeds for NBC?
Yes, it went for 8 years, 1994 to 2002, he played Dr. Mark Green. And I think a lot of people in the droves, because he's a good actor, a lot of people just, he's a likable person.
Very likable, you know? Character actor.
But as the story goes, his character died again.
Died again. Ghost Goose died on ER.
But I want to play the clip. ER, kind of soap. Did you ever get into watching ER?
I watched versions of it. You know, you get into that pocket, like you say, little, how do you say, you fall into a routine or like a little, I don't know, niche. You might watch a couple months of it. You're like, oh, and then you're like, you know, this isn't me. But it was great acting, great writing, great producing. You just like it. But then
they had a track record that was not George Clooney started.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot, another breeding ground for starters.
You just kind of just like fade out. You have a fan for it. That's
I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch. I mean, it's kind of a cult soap opera, drama, nighttime thing.
Nighttime.
It's kind of hard to watch it, though, when you're working a night job from 7 at night till 7 in the morning, which was my case.
You were on the night shift.
I was on the night shift. So I never got into it, but he was a real jokester, a real character playing practical jokes on set. If you go on YouTube and do ER bloopers, they have them pegged out from season 1, season 2, all the way through. So I want to play it. I've got a clip here I want to show you of a I'll set up the scene. It's a delivery room. You know, baby is being delivered, And that's all I'm going to say, okay?
I can just imagine.
Oh, my God.
There's 2 liters in there. We got an abruption.
She's bleeding out.
Carter, Chan, gown up.
Get the baby out. Martin. Ah!
Okay, so the scene is the baby's being born. He pulls out an alien baby.
Maybe it was a nerd alien baby.
I think it was a nerd alien baby.
Maybe Sigourney Weaver from Aliens was the mother. You never know.
You know, I mean, on a serious set like that, to be able to stop and do something like that, fun to break it up, it just shows his character of what kind of person he is.
Comic. Priceless comedic.
But so he came back, and they did a reprisal of ER in 2008, kind of a final season, where he did one or two scenes as a dream.
Dream sequence,
because he had passed away.
Wow. Anthony Edwards, really good, talented actor, a lot of different spectrums, a lot of different movies. Like Robert Carradine, these are two guys, you know, rare...
Very rare.
And rode the franchise, the nerd of them.
Couple things that he did. He does the voice of Echo on Disney's animated series, Planes.
See that.
And he's actually on TV again. He's back at NBC at Law and Order, True Crimes.
Oh,
these
wow.
shows just keep on going and going, you know.
Law and Order has been on, what, 15 years or something? Really long.
Something like that. He plays, the whole title is NBC's Law and Order, True Crimes, the Mendeza Brothers. Or no, the Mendez murders.
The Mendez brothers. That's when the two brothers
It's like an 8-week series.
Yeah,
that
killed
the mom and dad
for $10 million, and then everything went to court. All the money they were supposed to inherit because they were abused by their parents.
Yep.
They all went to lawyers' costs, and they wound up in jail, and they killed their family. How fucking stupid are these jerks?
And they're moving a TV series on it. He plays character Judge Stanley Weisberger.
Another role you can see him perfectly playing.
Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. I believe there's a few more weeks of it, or go dig it up on NBC.com.
Dig it up and watch it, and then just, like, recultivate your nerdism and be like, wow, look at this guy. He's 55, getting all kinds of good parts, good roles. He acted with some really true good talent, and now look at him.
It's one of those things, again, you never know what's going to happen.
No, exactly. Nerd, squirrel, serendipity. Get
all
different
the way
roles,
around.
Don't know what's going to happen next.
So... want to do a play out one more thing. In 2001, he made an appearance on Frasier.
Oh, nice. So, see? Now he's with Bob Crane. I mean, look at this, you know?
But he was just the voice. Remember how Frasier would start with he's in the radio studio?
Yeah.
And then somebody would call in? This is what it was.
Oh, sweet.
And this will be our outro.
We have Tom on the phone from Woodenville.
Hello, Tom. I'm listening.
Thank God. I thought I'd never get through. Dr. Crane, I have a problem, and I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to get married soon, but I'm having second thoughts. Do you think it's just cold feet, or what?
All right, Tom, just calm down. Let's work through this thing together, you and I. Are you in love with this girl?
Of course, yes. I think...
Now, remember, Tom, this is the person with whom you'll be spending the rest of your life. It is a long time.
It is, isn't it?
In fact, getting married is probably the biggest decision you will ever make in your life. It requires time, temperance, and thought. Tom, what's that music?
Sorry, Dr. Crane, there's no time to talk. I have to tell Monica the bad news.
Wait, Tom, no! Oh dear. Well, if anyone out there happens to know Monica, just tell her to call in on Monday and I'll move her right to the head of the line. Meanwhile, this is Dr. Frasier Crane saying good day and good mental health.
That's funny. You know, on Cheers, when he was, I loved his wife, Lilith Stern.
Yes. She's quite the character,
Yeah, I love the way she was cold-blooded, and she was in a movie, She played a salon owner in Summer of Sam with John Lithgow, 1999, I want to say. Pretty great actress, too. So you don't never know who you're going to work with. Squirrel Serendipity. What role you're going to get. Yeah. What's going to come across down the line. So just try to be positive in life. And look what happened to Anthony Edwards. Has a tremendous spectrum of acting credits, career, and goes from nerd to doctor.
Actor of all seasons. Yeah. So next week we're going to be doing a buffet again. And then the next week we're going to be looking at Curtis Armstrong. Booger.
Hello. For the purpose, critique, and educational review, the Positive Podcast Network. Okay, screw that. For the
Booger, into the reel.
Yeah, exactly. For the purpose of critique reveal, oh my gosh, it's like